Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So this episode I'm going to touch on mistakes to avoid when trying to lose body fat in the new year. So obviously this time of year coming, I'm recording this on the 27th, so just before kind of January, a lot of people are going to be trying to lose body fat. As a result, I'm going to make an episode on some mistakes you can try and avoid making so that you can have a smooth and successful fat loss phase. So starting off, the first thing I'm going to touch on is avoiding trying to fit really calorie-dense foods in your diet. And what I mean by this is trying to fit things like pizzas, burgers, lots of kind of tasty spreads, things like that, lots of sauces in your diet. Basically, and things like cookies, etc., muffins, whatever. And the reason being is when you consume these foods, yes, you can eat anything and lose weight. You could eat a McDonald's only diet and lose weight. As long as you're in a calorie deficit, meaning as long as you are burning more calories than you're consuming, so on paper, it will work, yes. However, the ability to adhere to the diet is going to be much, much harder, because when you consume a lot of calorie-dense foods, foods that are really highly palatable, most of the time processed foods can be, they are not going to basically suit your satiety levels when you're dieting. What I mean by that is they're not going to provide feelings of fullness to the same extent. So success leaves clues. Like when you look at what bodybuilders eat, they usually eat plain whole foods. Not a ton of sauces when they're dieting. They're not kind of eating a ton of kind of really processed foods. Not a lot of things that are that calorie dense. And it's for a good reason. They are not wanting to be absolutely starving. So you should kind of, you don't need to replicate exactly what they do. Your goals may be different, but take some inspiration from it in terms of don't make your diet try and be the absolutely tastiest thing ever. There's a balancing act to be had. You want to make sure your diet's enjoyable. You want to make sure that it is convenient, easy to stick to, but you also don't want to make sure, or you want to make sure that you're not trying to fit these foods in that taste good because you enjoy them to the extent that it's really hard to control your hunger. Like, because again, it goes down to adherence, but not only that, are you going to get much nutritious foods in from having, let's say, cereal or having a granola bar or having, let's say, some sort of dessert? Or are you going to get more satiety? Are you going to get more nutrients from consuming things like fruit for your carbohydrate sources? Things like lean protein sources, the latter is going to be a better option. You're going to get much more satiety from them. So yes, make sure your diet's enjoyable, but bear in mind, do these foods help fill you up? Like, how do you feel? And it's good to kind of think after eating a certain food, right, how full are you? Especially if you track calories. If you, let's say, you have two meals that have 500 calories in them, one meal you eat, you feel like you've not ate, versus another meal you feel quite full for hours. Obviously opt for the meal where you feel quite full for hours, just so that you can adhere to it over the long term. So yeah, make sure you're not making that mistake trying to fit really calorie dense, highly palatable foods in your diet. Keep it kind of plain, simple, it works. There's a balance and act to be had. And the next tip I'm going to give you is don't wing your diet. So don't wake up and think, I'm not sure what I'm going to eat the day, and just kind of look in the fridge and just pick out random foods. For the same reason as I said above, your ability to then manage your hunger may be poorer. What's the likelihood of you knowing you've got foods that are conducive to your goals in your diet if you've not got a plan in place? Have a good bit of structure in place in terms of the foods you eat, ones you know are going to give you satiety. Have a good routine and then run with it. Because if you're just kind of, again, going about your day thinking, oh, I'm not sure what I'm going to eat next, then you're not setting yourself up to succeed, because then you might need to get a poorer option that, again, doesn't manage your hunger, and then by the time you get to your next meal, you're already maybe too hungry, and then you might overeat, sort of thing. So have a plan in place with your diet. It's going to mean you're going to be much more likely to succeed, and it's going to be a lot easier to kind of manage that hunger and still hit your protein goal. That's a big one, because obviously protein's very satiating. It helps us build muscle and maintain muscle. And if you're wanting to improve your body composition, then it's in your best interest to have a high protein diet. And part of that's going to be making sure that you've got a plan in place to hit it. And a good way to make sure you're doing so is if you've got, let's say, like a good way to kind of set up your diet like if I had to give some very simple advice, obviously there's exceptions to this. Sometimes you might want more calories at a certain place or less calories, but eat more when you're hungry, eat less when you're not hungry. But if you're eating four times a day, divide the protein goal you want to try and hit by four, try and aim for that per meal, and that's going to help you ensure you've got enough protein in on a daily basis, and you're not leaving it until the end of the day and you've got, let's say, 100 grams of protein to hit but only 200 calories, because obviously that's not, it's not going to work. If people who aren't aware, there's 4 calories in a gram of protein, so you can do the maths. If you've got 100 grams of protein to hit, it's going to be 400 calories, and that's not including any carbs or fats that come alongside that protein source you're consuming. So there you can see you're probably not going to hit your protein in that scenario, so make sure you've got a plan in place to hit your goal on a daily basis. I think a good idea is going a weekly shop, because then you know you've got the good foods available, you know you've got a plan in place, and you know you're not going to set yourself up to fail. It's going to be a lot easier to stick to and a lot more convenient. And similar to the last point in terms of kind of going a weekly shop, is just have like a good general routine in place. So this applies across the board. So have a good routine when it comes to hitting your steps, when it comes to when you prep your food, when it comes to things like what time you train, what time you sleep and you wake up. And all these things are going to mean you're going to be much more likely to hit your goals on a daily basis. Like if you're just kind of waking up for and thinking, oh, I'll hit my steps at some point, I'll train at some point, I'll maybe get something to eat at some point, what's the likelihood of you nailing all those variables? It's going to be a lot lower. So have a routine that you know works in terms of what time you want to train, what time you want to roughly eat your meals, that you know will manage your hunger effectively. And even goes down to, again, when you maybe do a weekly shop, as I touched on, and when you do your steps. Like all these things, we should have a rough plan in place. That doesn't mean that plan can't change or you need to stick to that religiously, but it's at least good having some base structure in place before kind of start. And just like if you're preparing for an exam, you wouldn't wing it. Same applies when you're trying to lose body fat or when you've got goals you're working towards. You just have a plan and structure in place when trying to hit them. And as for training, like have a time where you think you're gonna enjoy training, that you've got energy for, where you think you're gonna do your best. What I mean by that is probably not a good idea planning your sessions for a weekend at 7 o'clock at night, because the gyms might be closing soon for one, or they might be closed depending on where you train. And two, like you're probably gonna have a lot of interruptions happen at that kind of time of day. So for example, you could do it right after work on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday if you're planning on training 3 days a week. But have a plan, because, and then when you've got a plan, treat it like a job with your training. This is something I've mentioned before in the podcast, but have it planned in at a certain time and stick to it. Stick to it like it is your job, like you wouldn't just not turn up for work. Same applies with the gym. Have a set time and hold yourself to that. And then when people ask you to maybe do something at that certain time, then it's your responsibility to then say, no, this is my time when I'm training. You need to be somewhat selfish with your time if you want to make progress. Or alternatively, then it's your job then to find another time where you're going to fit that session in. But if you're just kind of approaching the week, it's Monday and you have no idea when you're going to train, you're probably not going to be that likely to kind of stick to it. And as for nutrition, I said have a good routine in place with it. And what I mean by that is, like, have a routine that, you know, helps manage your hunger in terms of your meal frequency, your meal timing. What I mean by that is if you're waking up and you're training later in the day, then for breakfast I wouldn't slam an absolute ton of calories, because then you'll probably not have energy for the gym if you're not putting your food around your training session, which will help you perform well and recover. But not only that, then you'll be left in the evening with not a lot of food to eat, and then you again might overeat. Most people don't kind of cheat on their diet in the morning. It's usually the evening, because they're not busy, they've worked, they're sitting around, they've not got a lot to do. So save your calories for when your hunger's higher and you feel like you're going to struggle to adhere to things. That's something absolutely massive. So yeah, have a routine there. Same if you're sleep-wake. It might seem like, oh, I'm losing body fat. Why does my sleep-wake time have anything to do with it? Your sleep-wake time is going to influence how hungry you are. It's got an effect on the hunger hormones, leptin and ghrelin. So when you have poorer sleep, you're generally going to crave more food. And as well as that, you're going to have higher hunger. Additionally, when you are tired and underslept, what's the chances of you hitting your steps? What's the chances of you making smart food decisions? what's the chances of you getting sessions in? And even if you do get your session in, is it going to be as productive as if you slept well? Probably not. So make sure you're nailing that, and that's in a good spot so that you can set yourself up for success. And yeah, same applies with steps. Like, have a plan in terms of roughly for what day, when you're going to do your steps in order to hit your goal. And this is something like I've done during prep, and well, I still do now. I'll do it all year round. It's for each day, especially if your days look different, have a rough structure in place for you to hit them. And when doing so, again, think when you're going to enjoy hitting steps, when you're going to be able to adhere to it best. Probably not a good idea leaving your steps until, let's say, 8 o'clock at night to start them. Try and space it out relatively even and get a head start. What I mean by that is try and start your day with some steps or get them in quite early in the day, because then you're in the lead. You know what I mean? You're ahead of the ball, whereas if you're really behind and you leave them until really late at night, again, you're not going to have the energy, you're not going to kind of be motivated or want to go out and walk. You might not have time to get all your steps done before getting a good night's sleep. So make sure you've got a plan in terms of when you're going to do your steps. And this can even apply to, again, things smaller, like when you do a weekly shop, so you're setting yourself up for success. It can apply to other things, like when you maybe make adjustments to your diet, checking it on a regular basis so you know you're not just like making random decisions every other day sort of thing. You're waiting a week, you're assessing, have changes been happening? Is my body weight dropping on average? So you can then adjust things accordingly. But yeah, make sure you've got a good routine in place. And the benefit of like having a good routine is if you've got a good routine, it makes you successful in other aspects of life. So the structure and routine that makes me a good bodybuilder also makes me good at my business. Like if I just had a random kind of sporadic schedule and I didn't plan anything in, what's the chances of me getting my client work done on time? What's the chances of me getting the podcast out on time? And you not having informative episodes to listen to. Can't think of anything worse. So yeah, a routine's absolutely massive. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping people, because I know the traits and the characteristics that make you make progress in your fitness journey, like handling delayed gratification, being disciplined, having good structure and routine, good time management, also makes you successful in other areas of your life. So don't neglect the importance of having a good routine in place. Next up is make sure your split is something you can adhere to. So again, something else I've mentioned on the podcast, if you are, let's say, planning on training 6 days a week after not training, you're setting yourself up to fail. Don't try and run before you can walk. Start off with something you can stick to. Even training 3 days a week, 2 days a week, granted your diet and your steps are in a good spot outside the gym, you can still make a ton of progress, especially if you're not used to training and you just want to make sure you're being strategic with the split you're doing. So have a training program that you think you can stick to in terms of the session length and also in terms of what days it is, so that again you can set yourself up for success. And you can always increase it. You can always have or add more work in the future. You can always add another session in the future. Because what you find is if you bite off more than you can chew, and let's say you plan on training 6 days and you're like, you know you're not going to hit it. Let's say you miss Monday, Tuesday. Then you'll be like, what's the point? You'll have an all or nothing approach and you probably won't even get much of those sessions done at all. Whereas if you think, right, 3 days a week I can definitely stick to. Once you keep hitting those 3 days a week, it's going to motivate you. You're going to feel good for it. Then you're going to maybe want to add more sessions in. Maybe you're wanting to spend longer in the gym. And if not, then regardless, like you're going to still make a ton of progress. And if that is the case that you feel like you are continuing to hit your sessions, then let's say week 8 in of your kind of dieting phase or whatever, or just getting into the gym in general, you don't need to be purposely losing body fat. These habits and structure and kind of points I'm making will apply if you're in a gaining phase, will apply if you're just wanting to improve your body composition as a whole. But like if you constantly hit your sessions, let's say you're 6 weeks in, you've not missed one because you've had a split you can adhere to, then let's say it comes to a point where you're choosing between really, really can't be bothered training. You're going to think, right, well, I've adhered the last 6 weeks. I don't want to let this momentum drop. Whereas if you miss sessions every week, you're not going to even think twice about it because you're thinking, oh, well, I miss sessions all the time anyway. So it ingrains you're an individual who doesn't not tick their boxes, which builds confidence, which builds obviously that will build discipline as well, and it will just kind of make you motivated, because you'll look back on your week and be like, I've achieved this, I've done what I set out to achieve, and you're wanting, that will feel good, and you'll want to kind of keep that momentum up, and you'll want to keep that momentum going. So make sure you've got a split you can adhere to. Don't be one of those individuals who hammers the gym 7 days a week, 6 days a week, and then stops. It's like slow and steady wins the race. Like, I'd rather a client, or an individual who only trains 3 days a week but does so very consistently over time, they're going to make more progress than someone who keeps stopping and starting, because progress takes time. So it's about doing what you can sustain in the long term, of course. And my last point today, my fifth and final point, is stop derailing your progress on the weekend. So what I mean by that is, a lot of people will be consistent throughout the week, Monday to Thursday, Monday to Friday, and at the weekend they'll think, oh, I've been good all week, I'll treat myself, I'll relax a bit, I'll have this food, I'll have that food, I'll go out for a drink. But your body works off averages, and even if on average you're very good throughout the week, you can put yourself back to square one on the weekend. This is something I see with a lot of clients, and I'll point out to them, I'll be like, right, look at your body weight. Your body weight's consistently trended down. Now it's up after the weekend, and then what you're going to basically do is spend that next Monday to Friday or Monday to Thursday getting it trending down again, just to kind of pop yourself back up. Because if on average, let's say you're consuming, you're in a calorie deficit or you're losing weight throughout the week, but you overeat at the weekend, you put yourself in a surplus, or in other words, eat enough calories to gain weight, you're just putting yourself in a cycle, and you're just making yourself suffer throughout the week for no reason. So maintain that structure and routine on the weekend. Still adhere to your goals. I'm not saying there's not a place to have a drink and have maybe a bit more food now and then. That's fine, but only to an extent. What I mean by that is, yes, you can be a bit more relaxed, eat a touch more calories on the weekend, but if you're eating the amount that causes you to actually go back to square one throughout the week, then you're just shooting yourself in the foot. You're making things harder than you need to be. So yes, you can be relaxed, but try and also remember you have goals you're trying to hit. This will affect your progress throughout the week as a whole as well, like, because your habits matter all the times. And that's something like a few people have said, like, it's Christmas, calories don't count. They still count. It's okay if you want to eat more, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just about having the awareness that it might mean you gain a bit of weight, which is fine. But it's just about having that awareness and having that expectation, and knowing that it might mean you need to diet for an extra 2 weeks after a new year, or you need to maybe diet for a longer period once you do start your diet, because you gained an extra couple of kilos during Christmas. Because, like, what you don't want is, you don't want to like work so hard for fat loss and then at Christmas, for example, gain 3 kilos, which might take you over a month to lose. That's not a lot of fun. And yes, it's good living a little relaxing, but I'd rather maybe sometimes relax a bit less and not have to diet for an extra month. Something to consider there. So yeah, make sure you, when you are doing things like drinking alcohol, consider having like low calorie like drinks, like spirits, and also a zero sugar mixer is probably the best option. You'll probably not be as rough from that in terms of drinking kind of other alcohol. And same with the nutrition side of things, like, you can still go out for meals, you can still participate in social events without putting yourself back to square one. It's just a case of, you know, choosing sensible options. Like, when you're out for dinner, try and maintain good habits that you maintain the rest of the time, like trying to get veg in, trying to get like a good protein source, and maybe not go for something super processed, because the food will always be there, meaning after your dieting phase you can then introduce more foods that are going to be a bit more kind of calorie dense, a bit more enjoyable when your kind of maintenance calories get higher, and then when you want to kind of maintain your body weight instead of losing body weight. So yeah, consider what food you're eating at the weekend, what you're drinking at the weekend. And again, something I always say is, drinking's fine, you're allowed to drink, and if you are drinking, just make sure you get back on plan after. Like, the clients that, like, if I've got a client and let's say they have a drink, they still try and get a good sleep that night, they drink a ton of water and have some electrolytes before bed first thing in the morning, they still hit their steps and protein and calories the next day, maybe they went over their calories by a couple hundred when they were drinking, fair enough, not the end of the world there. Versus a client who, let's say, gets absolutely smashed, has a lot of like very fruity cocktails that have a ton of calories in them, gets a kebab and then a dessert on the way home, gets a fry up in the morning, they've derailed their progress and kind of put themselves right back to square one, which is obviously not ideal. So it's about how you handle it. Like, it can still be done, you just need to be smart in regards to handling it. But yeah, that's my 5 points. Hope they did help. If you have any questions, episodes you'd like to see, guests you'd like on the podcast, feel free to let me know. And would massively appreciate if you're on YouTube, like, subscribe. If you're on Spotify or Apple, leave a rating and review. Share the podcast in your story and tag at The Improvement Podcast and at Charlie J. Cuthbert if you enjoyed the episode, and massively appreciate everyone tuning in. This will be, when will this go live? This will go live after the new year. So hope everyone had an amazing new year and they find the podcast valuable. And again, like I said, any support is massively appreciated.